Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Prospering Souls broadcast. I am your host, Elder Denise Bryson of Denise Bryson Ministry.
Praise the Lord, saints of God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. The Bible tells us that the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is our joy and our strength. He is our peace. He is our present help in the time of trouble. He is the Lord. Bless the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul maker boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Welcome to the broadcast, the Prospering Souls broadcast today. Thank God for all of you that will be logging in, those that will be calling in, those that will listen to the broadcast later, those that will join me here on Facebook Live. I'm so thankful for each and every one of you. I plead the blood of Jesus over your life today, that God will be a blessing and manifest his presence in your life in a strong way, that every battle that you're in, that if you trust in the Lord, he will win the battle. You are on the winning side. We got to understand that if we allow God, the God of battles, to fight for us, that we are on the winning side. No matter how it looks, no matter how outnumbered you look, you are on the winning side. Oh, I bless the name of the Lord today. I bless him because he is awesome. He is wonderful. Thank God. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No matter what you face today, God is God. He is sovereign. And you don't have to worry about it. We're doing too much worry. God is the one that's going to win the battle for us. So we're going to talk about today. You know, we're still talking about prayer, and we're talking about prayer as battle partners. I looked up and saw how long we've been talking about prayer. We've been talking about prayer since November. We done went through all facets of prayer, and the only reason why I'm still talking about prayer is because I'm waiting on sister, one of our elders that's going to teach humility. So I'm stretching out things for her. But so the Lord told me to talk about these battles in the Bible, the ones that they won and ones that they didn't won, because we got to understand, you know, what it is that God, it's God that is fighting for us. We don't have to fight for ourselves. We're doing too much fighting and we're doing too much war. And so he said the battle is not ours. It doesn't belong to us. It is his battle. And so he might use us in one way or another way, but we do not have to be fearful of what the enemy tactics are, because God has already given us tools to combat those situations. He has already given us the power to move on past those situations. We just got to use our battle weapons. And so I'm calling this little series, tacking it on to prayer, as prayers, battle partners. I think that's what I called it. Prayers, the weapons, our weapons of victory, the things that we can use to have the victory even over our own mind that the enemy is trying to cause us to be confused sometimes, or trying to battle with us, making us try to make us think that God can't do it, God ain't for you. But the Bible tells us if God be for us, he is more than the world against us. And so that's what we got to know. We got to know that we got a God that's on our side. And so since he's on our side, then we're going to win in this situation. We don't have to keep worrying about what he's doing and what the devil's doing. God is our keeper. He is our winner. He said he's our very present help in the time of trouble. And so that's what we got to know. He's there with us all the way. We don't have to listen to the devil. Like I said last week, take his gum out. You know, I'd be over here chewing. You know, it's one of my that is too funny. You know, I used to get in trouble in the choir stand all the time because I'd always have gum in my mouth. And I'd always have a purse full of gum so I could pass it out in the choir stand. And we would get in trouble about that gum. But anyway, I do it to keep my throat from getting dry. But anyway, I tell you that, but I have to take it out sometimes. But anyway, we used to do that, and it used to be so funny. But anyway, I'm getting off that. But I'm just excited today about all that God is doing, and I'm excited to be learning so much. You know, I love studying. I love reading the Word of God, and I love studying the Word of God. And so I'm excited to be learning, because I'm telling you, I said, Lord, why you give me that to teach? Because, you know, I'll be chief in the situation. And he said, nah, but when you start studying, that means he is trying to help you to learn what it is you need to learn to move on past the situations that the enemy is trying to attack you with as well. And so I felt like this week it was a whole bunch of attacks hitting me, but anyway, I came on through. Some of them I might have I hit the mark, and some of them I may not have. But anyway, I've done my best. But I'm like David. I'm quick to repent. I'm quick to repent, and I'm quick to worship God, and I'm quick to praise him, and I'm quick to own up to anything that I shouldn't do or should do. That's how I do, because I know God knows my heart. And I tell you, everything deals with a heart matter. It's our heart. We got to make sure that our heart is in the right place and that the enemy is not winning because our heart is in a bad place. So that's why I'm so excited about God. God is so, he excites me all the time. I'm just excited about it. Sometimes we get a little weary, especially when you seem like you've been in a battle for a long time. The enemy tries to steal our hope. But I'm telling you, our hope needs to stay in Christ. We need to still walk by faith and not by sight. I was talking to somebody about that yesterday. They were talking to me. You know, I got a good prayer partner. She talks to me. I mean, she be letting me have it too sometimes. But anyway, she keeps me on track, and I'm so thankful for that, because sometimes you need that. You know, especially when, you know, your parents are gone on to be with the Lord, and you know what I'm saying? And I tell people, I tell you, I'm here. I don't really have any family here, but I have family friends here, and so I'm thankful for that. And then I'm still close to my people back at Indianapolis. So I'm so thankful for that, that the Lord blesses me, you know, to still have good relationships. You know, I got some friends I've been friends with down 50-some years now, and I'm so thankful for that, because you don't have to be in those kind of situations, but I'm thankful for that. So they keep up with me, and all that, so I'm glad. But anyway, I thank God. Of course, you know, I serve you. I was talking about my service. It was good, 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 good. We had a good, the man of God that preached this morning, he is good. And so, you know, I tell you to do what to do, because I ain't doing no justice. I tell you to go to thepottershouse.org and pick and look at rebroadcast. Look at review it, and you're going to be blessed by it. As usual, the word of God came through, and I'm telling you, we were blessed by the word of God. And so, but he was talking about that, getting filled with that Holy Ghost. You know, I got excited about that, because we was talking about that just a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about praying in the Spirit. And the Lord kind of took me back to talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit and all those things, to talk about the Holy Ghost and to talk about that. And so now we're talking about weapons of our warfare, the weapons that we use for victory, because we have so many things that God has in place for us. We just got to remember. And one thing I was thinking about this week, too, sometimes we have got to remember, and I'm going to talk about this. Amen. Hey, just take that pocket. All right, Tiffany. All right. Thank the Lord. I thank God for some of the things. Out-of-pocket cost. Thank you. That was the name of the sermon. That's what you were talking about, out-of-pocket cost. That was the name of the sermon this morning. I'm telling you, it was such a blessing. It was such a blessing. I was trying to think, because I think I didn't hear the sermon. I don't know what I was doing. I didn't hear the topic, but I got the message. So anyway, but I thank God for that. But he was talking about our out-of-pocket cost. But anyway, I'm going to ask you all to go out there and listen to it, because it was such a blessing. The blessing. Hallelujah. It was such a blessing. God is so awesome. And he was talking about those that cost, the things that cost us something. It's the things that's going to bless us to move forward in God. And so I'm telling you, it was just such a blessing. So y'all go out there and listen to it, for those of you who didn't hear it already. But anyway, I'm talking about, we're talking about prayer and its weapons of our warfare, the things, prayer, that we couple with prayer to combat the enemy. And then we're going to talk about a couple of these battles that are going on. Because, I mean, it seems like we're in such a battle. People are in such a battle when it comes to life and things like that. But God is the one that's fighting the battle for you. You're not in it alone. You're not in it alone. So last week when we started out, and I'll read the scripture, this is my topic scripture, it says, and it's 2 Corinthians. I read it last week, but I'm going to read it again. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Now, that was something I had to really do this week. I had to cast down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing all them thoughts into captivity and to the obedience of Christ. That was one of the things, because sometimes the enemy really tries to attack our mind. And he tries to make us feel like, you know, God is not going to do it for you. And I'll tell you something else. You got to be careful about the power of agreement. Because, and we're going to talk about that in prayer. We're going to talk about that, how we can agree in prayer and how the Lord can bless us. But when you're talking to people and you might be discussing things with people, be careful not to answer so quickly. Because sometimes, and people don't mean any harm, they say something and they don't really mean any harm. It's not that they really mean any harm, they're just talking. But you got to be careful not to say, hey, Cheryl, God bless you, Elder. And so we have to be careful not to agree sometimes. So we're going to talk about the power of agreement. We're going to talk about our blood brought covenant with the blood of Jesus. And so that's, we're going to start with that today. And because, and I talked about last week how, you know, in Ephesians 6 and 10 and 18, how some of our weaponry that we have for battle there. I talked about standing. I said, Bible says, when you've done all to stand therefore. And so sometimes just you standing there is a weapon. You're not running from the situation. You're not running saying, this is too hard for me. I'm just going, you're going to stand and see what the Lord, what did he tell me? He said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When the Israel was coming out of Egypt and they was locked in between the Egyptian army and then the Red Sea, he told them, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Then they went on across on dry land, and then God took care of the enemy. I'm telling you, God is fighting the battles for you, but you got to let him do it. Come out of the situation. Come out of the situation. Sometimes stop trying to be the fighter yourself. And I told you about that, even on your jobs and things. Sometimes you can't be the fighter. Sometimes you got to be the one that is standing in the gap. You got to be the intercessor, because people are going, have went through some terrific things in their life, and you never know what is fueling that behavior. And so you got to ask God for discernment so that you won't jump into a battle that you don't really need to be in. What you need to do is pray and not get in the battle and let God have the battle, because God needs to bless them. And they may not know God, or they may not have anybody praying for them. So you might be the only person that they have that is close to them that can get a prayer to heaven. And so they need you to be on the praying side and not on the fighting side. Let God fight on your behalf. And then sometimes, I'm just saying, that's how you got it. But you got to trust God in that situation. So he said truth was one of our battle weapons that we read in 6 and 18. He said righteousness and our faith. And of course, I told you, if you don't have no faith, ain't no need praying, doing nothing above, because that prayer ain't going nowhere. You have to have faith. Faith is key in this situation. It says we need to walk by faith and not by sight. And then what is faith? Faith, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we got to know that we got to have faith above all other. We got to, Jesus told us, we got to have faith. Whatever we do, if we're going to pray, we got to believe that we can receive, so we got to have faith. So we got to make sure that even in the times of battle, and it seems like you're being attacked on every hand, keep your faith up. Keep reminding yourself of what God has already done in your life. We're going to talk about that in a minute when we talk about David and his battle with Goliath. But let me get through this, because, you know, I'll start talking, I'll be talking about too much stuff. And then it said praying always in the spirit with prayer and supplication in the spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. So, we talked about praying in the spirit a couple of weeks ago. But so we started talking about prayer and its warfare partners. That's what I called it, I think. I didn't call it so many different things. But anyway, prayer is faith. Faith is one. Obedience is one. Communication and power is our power. It's our prayer and our intercession, because prayer is communication with God. And then I talked about our authority using the name of Jesus, how Jesus gave us that authority to use his name. And so if we do that, we have that. And now we want to talk about the blood of Jesus. That is another one of our battle partners, along with prayer. And so we said, and I'm going to talk about this, we're going to read Exodus 12, but it says the blood of Jesus are covering. When God released his death angel over Egypt, he told the Israelites to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. And when he sees the blood, he will pass over. The death angel would pass over them. When God sees the blood in your life, he sends things to pass on over you. They don't touch you, because the blood of Jesus is covering you. The blood of Jesus is protecting you. So this is another thing. When we plead the blood of Jesus, it is a protection for us, just like it was for Israel. It said, I'm going to read Exodus 12, 5 through 13. It says, your lamb shall be without blemish. It was him telling them what kind of lamb to get. And I'm going to start there. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. and they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper post, doorpost of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat of the flesh in the night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. And let me go down here to my two verses. I'm going to skip down to 12 and 13. And it said, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all of the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And then he says, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Of course, this was the last plague that God sent in among those 10 plagues that he sent, because it was time for the children of Israel to be free and to go on and worship the Lord. And so this was the last one. So what I'm saying today is we got a blood, because of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, the blood that he shed, we have a protection and victory with using the name of the blood of Jesus. We have blood-bought benefits with the blood of Jesus. It gives us salvation. And so that's one of the things it gives us. It gives us atonement. Let me read the scripture. It says, gives salvation, births his kingdom, and keeps us from eternal damnation. So this is why the blood of Jesus is what is keeping us. It says, and he who has believed in me and has and been baptized will be saved from the penalty of God's wrath and judgment. But he who has not believed will be condemned. So because of the blood of Jesus, we have been saved. Because we believe in him. And then John 3:17 says, for God did not send the Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, that is, to initiate the final judgment of the world, but that the world might be saved through him. That is the reason why we're saved, because Jesus went to the cross and shed his blood. So we got blood bought benefits because of what Christ did. And so then it says the blood makes atonement for us. It says the blood makes atonement for us. And so we got to understand that God is making atonement for us. And so then the next thing is that it says in Romans 5:11, and not only so, but we also join in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And, you know, when in the Old Testament, the priest was the one that went in on the Day of Atonement, and he was the one that went in and sacrificed for the whole nation, for the sins of the nation. Well, now we don't have to do that. He took the lamb in. He took the blood of the lamb in. We have the blood of Christ. He died for all of our sins. And so we have a blood-bought covenant through Jesus Christ that we have to use as our weapon. That's why when we plead the blood of Jesus, it is our protection. And so when we're in prayer and we begin to plead the blood over our lives and over our family and over our loved ones and over people, we understand that that is our protection. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over it. He will send the death angel on past. He will send whatever's going battles we're in. He'll send them up, because the blood of Jesus is our protection. The blood of Jesus bought us. It justifies us. Okay, it redeemed us. It redeemed us from the curse of the law. It said our life is paid in full because of the blood of Jesus. He brought back from the power of sin and death because of Jesus shed blood. So we have this as another weapon that we can use when we're in prayer. If we begin to plead the blood of Jesus over our lives, as the blood justifies, it acquits us of the sin and guilt. And then it says that the blood gives us sanctification. It sets us apart unto God, and at the time of salvation as well as the day throughout. The blood of Jesus, the blood. You used to hear the old saints say, the blood. They would be praying, and they would be praying the blood of Jesus. Said it allows a remission. Sin was canceled because of the blood of Jesus. Ain't that you ain't done no wrong, because we were all guilty. But Jesus was not guilty, but he took on the guilt of the world and the sins of the world on our behalf. And so now we have that blood-bought covenant that we can use in our times as a weapon against the enemy. We can plead the blood of Jesus over our lives against the enemy. It releases forgiveness and pardons of sin. And so we got to understand all that, and it cleanses us from all sin. So when you plead the blood of Jesus over your life, the blood bought covenant is giving you all of those things to be for you to be cleansed and healed. So we thank God for that. We thank God for all that he's doing with that. The next thing is we have the power of agreement. Now, when I think about that, that's what I was talking about a few minutes ago. We have to be careful in our conversation with people, you know, to make sure that you don't agree. You got to really listen because the enemy is tricky. I had a friend of mine, and this is Pastor Lisa Court. She used to say that devil is a tricky fool. She would say that all the time. I got to think about that because when I thought about it being tricky, I could hear her saying that. He's a tricky fool, she used to call it. And anyway, what I'm saying is that we have to be careful when we're talking to people. Because sometimes people are just talking. I remember sometimes when you were talking to my mom or somebody older, you know, and you'd be talking about, oh, something bothering me or you might hurt. Huh? They go to calling out diseases. And you know what? You didn't want to be disrespectful, but I used to rebuke them on the inside and say, Lord, rebuke you now. See that, Jesus, I'm not receiving that. That is not what's going on. And you would do it. You wouldn't say it out loud to them, but you would rebuke it in your side. I remember one time the doctor told me I had been in a car accident. This was back, I want to say, in the 90s somewhere. So I was still in Indianapolis. And so I was there. And anyway, I had gotten a car accident. So I was just going to get checked out for that. But then they found, they was, you know, doing a physical of everything. And they found a tumor is what they found. And so, and the doctor was saying, well, you know, it could be 98% chance that it's cancerous. And, I mean, he was telling me all that, and I was saying in my spirit, Satan, the Lord rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I don't receive any of that. And that's what I was saying. I wasn't saying that out loud to him. And so when I was telling people I had to have surgery, I would say, well, the doctor said, because I ain't said, no, I'm not saying that. That's what I'm saying. And so I said, the doctor said. And so the thing was they were going to give me a hysterectomy. I was like 30. He was going to give me a hysterectomy. And I told the Lord, I said, now, Lord, I don't have no children. I said, I've been doing what you told me to do. You told us that we're supposed to keep ourselves. We're supposed to give ourselves in marriage. I was going through the whole thing with Jesus because, you know, I was like, now, hold on here, wait a minute. So I just got to talk to the Lord. And so I remember going through the process of that. And, of course, so I remember going through all of that. And I remember it was right before I got ready to go surgery. You know, I went because, you know, I was going to have surgery. And so I went and got my hair done. This is common. I went and got my hair done and my nails and my feet because I said I didn't want to be up in the hospital with them feet setting up and then they'd be ashy and looking a hot mess. So I went and got all that done right before I had to go to the hospital. And so I got sick because at the beauty shop, they were praying for me. This is Valora Anderson. I was at her beauty shop because she used to do my hair. And so, and her and Gail Dodson did my nails and stuff and all that. But they was praying. They was praying people. They was prayer warriors. And they prayed for me, and then I went to church the next Sunday, and Mother Gwen, I never forget it, she called me back. She said, Niece, what's going on? She said, what's going on? I told her what was going on. I'm telling you, she began to pray for me, and she prayed back in that room, and then later on that night, I felt something move. And I said to myself, I said, Lord, sure, the thing ain't getting bigger. No, but what I didn't know was that they said that the tumor was attached to, you know, my uterus and all of those things, right? That's what they had said, and so they were going to take all of that out, and that's what they were going to have to do. But I felt it move, and I said, well, Lord, it ain't getting bigger. What is going on? You know, because we think can't. But anyway, when I got to that hospital, I was back there. They was prepping, you know, for surgery. So I was, you know, it was a whole bunch of people back there having surgery that day. And I thought to myself, oh, Lord, we lined up back here like cattle. That's what I thought to myself. But I began to pray for the other people that were going to surgery. I just started beginning to plead the blood of Jesus over their lives and over the doctors. Lord, guide the doctors. And I began to pray for everybody that was back there. And so then my time came up for surgery. But anyway, after the surgery, they came and told me, they said, well, it wasn't, because they told me it was big as a basketball. And, you know, at that time, I was a big girl. I was 300-some pounds, you know. Anyway, so I was thinking, Lord, maybe that's what's going on here, why I'm being so big. You know, I got this big old tumor. Because they said it was big as a basketball. But anyway, it turned out being big as it was big as a grapefruit. Then there was a whole lot of other little ones in there. And so they took all of those out, and I didn't have to get nothing else taken out. That's all they had to take out. So I didn't get the hysterectomy or none of that. And so I thank God for that. But what had happened was they said it was just sitting right on top. It wasn't attached to nothing. And so I believe that prayer, those prayers, they detached that thing. God detached it. And the prayer, and they were just able to take it right on out. And then when it came back, it wasn't cancer, it wasn't none of that going on. So I thank God for that. And I remember them having that catheter in there as well. And he told me, he said, well, we want to take the catheter out, but if you can't go, we're going to have to put it back in. And I thought to myself, no. I went to praying. And I mean, the girl next to me, they had to put hers back in, but they didn't have to put mine back in, saints. I prayed for the what needed to happen, and it happened. So that's what I'm saying. We have power in prayer. And when we pray in faith, we get what it is that we are asking God for. And so, but we have all of these things in place that we can use to combat the enemy that is trying to attack our mind to cause us to miss our blessing. You don't come too far now. You have come too far through this journey to miss your blessing. You got to stay focused on God. You got to stay focused with what you already know God has done in your life. And maybe he ain't done nothing for you, but he ain't done something for somebody you know. Stay focused on what the Word of God says, because I know we have these stories in the Bible, and we have these victories that we see in the Bible, but we got some victories ourselves. He done brought us out of some things. He done some things for us. So we have that to use as our weapon. So that when the enemy comes up, the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, it says the Spirit of God will lift up the standard again. The Holy Spirit will bring things back to your remembrance. And so when he brings these things back to your remembrance, all you got to do is sit back and say, I'm going to believe with God. I'm going to believe God. I'm not going to go with what the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to steal your hope. He's trying to steal your faith. He's trying to steal your blessing. But you don't have to give him none of that. Remember, he's hopeless. So why are you going to give a hopeless devil your blessing? You don't have to do that. Stay focused on what God is giving you some weapons to use for your victory. He's giving you some weapons to use. Now, let's say we're talking about agreement. Agreement. So we're talking about agreement. When we come into agreement with somebody in prayer, first of all, we all both got to be on one accord. That's the thing. What was it in Acts? I think it's Acts 2 and 1. It says, and when the day of Pentecost, I think they're getting on my nerve. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. So when you get ready to ask people to come in agreement with you, y'all got to be on one accord. They can't be praying one thing and you praying, that ain't going to work. That's not a power of agreement. If we think about the Tower of Babel back in Genesis, I think it's Genesis 11 chapter, and, you know, when they were building the Tower of Babel and, you know, they were all with one language. They were all in one language and they were all speaking the same thing. But God discerned that they, you know, what? That's why he had to separate all that, because they were getting ready to do too much. They were getting ready to try to, you know, it was too much. So they were in agreement. But God had to separate that because he discerned, he knew what they were trying, the plot was. And so because they were trying to build the tower to get to heaven is what they were doing. So that's what happened, because all the language was of one language. They came together and began to build that tower to go to heaven is what they were doing. So God, he changed that. And they all were speaking different languages. They all were confounded because the language, he changed the language. But when you get ready to agree with somebody in prayer, you have to have somebody that can agree with you in prayer. And then I also told you, remember I told you this quite a while ago, if you're going to have somebody pray with you, have somebody that has faith, that is praying in faith. Don't get nobody and got no, don't have no faith. Because if they don't have no faith, then they're not going to have situation for your faith. And I told you about James 5:15, when the prayer of the righteous said, it says the prayer of a righteous availeth much. But one thing about the prayer of the righteous, they had faith to believe that the person that they were praying for was going to be healed. And so when you get ready to have somebody pray with you, you want them to have faith, and you want to be able to them to be able to be in agreement with you in prayer. So you want people to agree with you in prayer. That's the power of agreement. And so that's what the Lord was saying. And so, because this is the thing, agreement begins, first of all, with God. With God, it's a God-focused heart anyway. So your heart got to be focused on him, and then your heart is knitted with God. That's why David was so successful, because he had a heart that was knitted with God. You know what I'm saying? And so your faith got to be knitted with God, and then God will send you somebody that will be knitted, that you can pray with and be in agreement with. He has people that you can pray with and be in agreement with, and so that are really concerned about the situation. You can't have somebody that's not really concerned about what you're going through. And so, and you know, people don't, you know, I know people don't have time to be hearing all of your problems and pouring out all that. Because, and then, but what has to happen when you're an intercessor anyway, people, you're going to be burdened with stuff. But what you got to do is take that burden and give it back to the Lord. It ain't for you to hold. Don't hold nobody else's burden. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take it when they might tell you about it. You might intercede on their behalf. Sometimes God gives you a burden for somebody, and then you are in the Holy Ghost, and then you are intercede on their behalf, but you give that right back to God because it's not yours. It's not for you to be burdened down. It's just for you to intercede. And so we have to learn how to pass that back on to God, give that back over there. He said, cast your cares upon him, for he careth for you. And so you got to cast it back on God. I remember Bishop Bally said, when they give it to me, I throw it back to God. They give it to me, I throw it back to God. So when people come to you with things and ask you to pray with them and be in prayer and agreement with them, pray with them, but then give that back to God so you won't be burdened with it, because that's not your position. You're not to be burdened with it. He said, cast, he wants us to give our burdens to him. He said, take his yoke upon you, because his burden is life. So we're not supposed to take on anybody's burden. We might pray for them. We might intercede for them. And we might be in agreement for prayer with them. But we're not to take it on like, okay, we got to burden ourselves with. That's not your position. And stop doing that if that's what you're doing. Give that back to God. God is the one fighting the battle. You're not the fighter. God is the one fighting the battles. And so we got to understand that that's when we agree with people. That's what we're talking about. Now, I want to go back to I think those are my only two. And I'm going to talk about that because I'm going to talk about the battles. Because, you know, God told me to talk about these battles. And so I'm going to talk about them. And then next week we're going to talk about praise, worship, the name of God. And then we're going to talk about, I think I got one more with that as well. Okay, I have to get back here fasting. But anyway, fasting. Because, you know, fasting is one of fasting. So we're going to talk about binding and loosing, fasting, praise, and then the Lord. We might talk about praises a little bit within these battles, and then the Word of God, and then we're going to talk about the names of God. And so that's what we're going to talk about. That's a lot to get through. I hope I get through it all next week. But if not, then I might go over. I've been talking about prayer for a long time. I didn't know prayer was such a big topic for me to talk about. But anyway, we've been talking about it for a long time, but I've added some things on to it. And so that was my intent was to talk about the Holy Spirit. But then God took me in some different directions. So let's talk. I want to go back to talk about. I talked about the battle of Rephidim over in Exodus, the 17th chapter, when Moses, when they were fighting against Amalek. And, you know, of course, Amalek is one of Esau's children. He's out of the lineage of Esau. But anyway, the one thing that I wanted to bring out about that, I talked about that last week, but one thing I wanted to bring out about it was that this is where Moses called God Jehovah Nissi. And this is, and so, and of course, Jehovah Nissi means our banner. And so, and when we, and the revelation of that is our banner, our victory, and he is the one that wins the battles on our behalf. God is the one that wins the battles. It's not us, it's God is the one winning the battle. And so, you know, when they were, like I said, when they were up on, Moses was on the hill. And the Lord told him to go on the hill. Joshua chose out the men to fight. But when Moses was on that hill and he held up his hands and the rod, he held up the rod and his hands was up, they won the battle. But when they brought him down, they began to lose the battle. And then last week I equated that to us with our hands lifted up in praise. Our hands lifted up worshiping God, our hands lifted up in praise. We keep our hands lifted up in praise. We keep praise coming out of our mouth instead of complaining. When we keep that out of our mouth, then God will begin to, he's fighting the battle for us because we're lifting him up in praise. And if we think about Jehoshaphat, when they got ready to go to that battle, they sent forth the praise. And we're going to talk about Jehoshaphat next week when we talk about praise. But I want to get on to it. So then, and not only that, if we think about Amalek represented their enemy. And so Satan, who is active against God's people in all generations, so this, he's an enemy. And so even though God said that he would wipe out Amalek from the face of the earth, let me read that because you got to read it to see it. Let me see. I think it's 17, verse 17 to 14. Let me get it because I really want to read that. I think it's Exodus 17, 14 because it says something there. And so I wanted to bring that point out. Yeah, it says, and the Lord spake to Moses, 17:14. He said, let me get it in context. Okay, anyway. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And that's what he said in that verse. I think if I go at first, yeah, he said that, but then he said, 17, see if I can get the scripture I'm looking for. Oh, so then it says, and then, so that was 14, and then 15 says, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. And so that's what that is. He said, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. And then he says, for he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And so you think he just said that he would wipe him out, wipe Amalek from under heaven, but then he's having war with them. And the thing who says, he said, it was because the enemy is going to still be attacking. I'll read what this note said. It says, there is an interesting thing about God, what God says when he tells Moses to write down the story. It says, God says that he will utterly blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And that means that this enemy would not rise again, but he was defeated utterly. And then in verse 16, however, Moses says the Lord has sworn the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. How is it that God is saying the enemy was completely defeated, and yet there would be future wars with Amalek in the future generations? And it says Amalek in this story represents the enemy, Satan. So that's who he's representing, who is active against God's people in all generations, even though the literal Amalek at the time was completely defeated. So the Amalek, which was one of Esau's descendants, was defeated at that time. But the other Amalek would rise up against Israel and go on down to us. And so we got the enemy rising up against us. And so when you gather under Jehovah Nissi as your banner, trust him that the outcome of your battle will be the same as it was for Moses and Joshua at Rephidim. God is saying there will always be war, but don't be surprised by it. He is also saying that he is always the winner. So that's the point I wanted to make out in that particular scripture. It sounded a little confusing, but what he was saying was the actual Amalek was wiped out that day. But he said other Amaleks, and what he was saying was Satan was going to keep on bringing stuff up against you. He's going to keep on trying to battle against you. But the thing about it is God is the God that is winning the war for you. And you don't have to worry about it because you are on the winning side. With God, you will always win. That's why I tell people all the time, you know, it's just better with Jesus. Life is better with Jesus. If you got Jesus on your side, life is better with Jesus. And so we got to keep that in mind that we need him. We need him on our side. We need Jesus on our side. So that was the point I wanted to make about that. I wanted to go back to Rephidim, that battle there, because they won because, first of all, his hands was lifted up. And then, you know, when Moses got tired, they put a stone under him for him to sit down, and then Aaron and Hur kept his arms raised up. Well, sometimes we might get tired, and we need somebody to keep our arms up. So when we do that, that's when we have that power of that prayer of agreement. We got somebody agreeing what is helping us to keep our arms up. But as far as our leaders is concerned, the leaders of our church, we need to keep their arms lifted up. We need to keep them in prayer. We need to keep them, you know, and we need to do all of those things, keep them praying, pleading the blood of Jesus over their lives, all of that kind of stuff, because we're keeping their arms lifted up in prayer. And I told you that lifting up was like a posture of praise to me, that they were fighting to get praise. Now, let's talk about Gideon for a minute, because I know sometimes we feel like we got so much going on, so much is coming against us. It's like air on every side, one thing after another, yada, yada, yada. But I'm telling you, when I think about Gideon, now, Gideon was the fifth judge of Israel. This is in the book of Judges 7 and 8, he's around that chapter, those chapters, and I got the chapters right here. Anyway, but God talks to Gideon about going to the battle against the Midianites, right? And so, of course, Gideon's like, you know, who me? I'm the least in my father's house. You know, he goes on to say all of those types of things. But God wanted to show a point. And this is the point God made. When Gideon first went out, let me read scripture. It says, this is Gideon, I'm going to think this is the seventh chapter, I'm going to start with that. So he brought his soldiers down to the water. Well, let me tell the story before I get to this. So, he had 135,000 men when he first started out, when he first started going to the battle. Because, you know, he had God do a whole bunch. God had to send Remember, God had to, he had to put dew on the fleece and not on the ground. Then he had to put dew on the ground and not on the fleece. You know, he had him showing him more sign after sign that this is what he wanted him to do. He wanted me making sure that he was the one God was telling to go into this battle and defeat the enemy. And so he had God doing a whole lot of stuff. And sometimes we have God doing a whole lot of stuff, too. We want to make sure. You know, God, are you telling me this? You know, tell me, go to, they said, go to the mailbox. I said, God, is, I'm going to go to the mailbox. Am I going to really find some money there? You know, whatever it is. You know, whatever it is. Sometimes we want reassurance. So God, Gideon took God through all of that stuff to reassure him. And so I think when he first started out, was it 135 men or was it 32? I think it was 32,000 men. When he first started, I don't know where I got 135,000, but it was 32,000 men. It was 135,000 over in the Midianites. That's where 135 came in. But anyway, it was 32,000 men. But God told him, he said, you got too many people. Sometimes you're talking to too many people about your situation. And you're talking to too many people. And I know because I'm chief at this. I'll be running my mouth. I said, Lord, let me stop talking to certain people, because sometimes people begin to speak things in the atmosphere because they begin to talk to somebody else about your situation. Then they talk to somebody else about your situation, all of his opinions, and a lot of them are not talking faith at that time. They're really talking opinions. And so their opinion might not be what God has for you, but anyway, they're speaking this stuff in the atmosphere. So sometimes you got to be quiet. You just got to go through and you got to be quiet, and you got to know who you can talk to and who you can't talk to. Because sometimes people, you talk to some people, they'll have you out of faith. I'm telling you, you'll be sitting up there thinking, you'll be talking a whole different, you'll be talking one way one week and another way the next day, and sometimes the same day. So we got to be careful who we are talking to. And so God told him that, he said, you got too many people. It's too many of them. You got 32,000 people, it's too many of them. And so then I think it got down to about 22,000 of them. And so then the Lord told, God told him, he said, the ones that will kneel down and get the water, and the ones that will lap like a dog, the ones that will lap like a dog is the ones you want to take into the battle, because they got down, they lapped like a dog, got them some water, but they kept their hand on their weapon. So they were ready. If they had to rise up, they was ready to go. The ones that had both their hands down like this, getting the water like this, they wasn't ready. Somebody came up, they got to fiddle a minute. But the other ones was ready. And so the Lord, it ended up being 300 men and 135,000 Midianites outnumbered alone. If we do the math on that, I wish I had my calculator. I do the calculation of how they were outnumbered. But they were outnumbered. But the Lord won the battle on their behalf. God won that battle for them, and they beat the Midianites. But see, we got to trust in God. The thing of it is, there's no question God gave, he says, gave him 300 men and Israel's victory over 135 men in the army of Midian. Sometimes, how many times do we feel outnumbered with the things that's going on in our life? We feel outnumbered about what's going on, and we feel like there's so much coming against me. It's one thing or another. But we got to understand, like I said, we can't talk to everybody all the time. Be careful what you agree with when you're talking to people. Don't agree with them, because maybe they're having a bad day and they might say something off about something. You know what I'm saying? They might say, well, Lord, it just seems like we're having a good day. No, when they say, no, I'm having a great day. The Lord, this is the Lord's day, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. You got to put the scripture on it, put the scripture on. We got to be reminded of all of those types of things, because the enemy is tricky. He's tricky. I'm going to be like Pastor Corey. He's a tricky fool. That's what he is. But and he really ain't no fool, because he do believe in tremble. Let's think about that. I get tickled when people tell me they're atheists, because I'm thinking, and I think about what Dr. James said at that time. She said, well, that's worse than the devil, because the devil believes in tremble. So, you know, they talking about they don't believe at all. And so that's funny. But anyway, I always get tickled about that. But anyway, that's me. But anyway, we got to think about, God can give us victory over all of these things that's going on in our life if we trust him. We have to trust him. We have to keep our hope in him, and we got to believe that he can do it. We got to do that. We got to come to that. And so when I thought about that, I thought about how God brought that victory to Israel when they were sitting there outnumbered by a whole lot, by a whole lot. You're talking about 35, I got this pen, about 35,000 people. And 135 for 300, that's a whole lot of difference right there. So anyway, we got to remember that. So let's go on, because then I get calculating. I don't want to do that. So anyway, then let's talk about, I want to talk about this, because sometimes we think, do we really think that we're the ones doing the battle? We're winning. We're the ones winning. And we forget about what God has done and that God is the one fighting for us. And sometimes we kind of take ownership, you know, of things, and, you know, we're not humbling ourselves to understand, and pride can sometimes comes in the way. And I thought about the story, the battle when the Philistines took the ark, and how Israel, this is 1 Samuel 4, 1 through 11, and it talks about how Israel, they trusted in the ark of the covenant more than they did God. They thought the presence of the ark was what was bringing them the victory and not God. And so they were like, you know, because when they came up against the Philistines, the first time they came up against the Philistines in 1 Samuel 4 in the fourth chapter, it says that the Philistines killed about 4,000 is what happened. And so then what Israel did was say, let us go and get the ark, because they were convinced that the presence of the ark would protect them in battle. And that's 1 Samuel 4 and 3 through 5. And so they trusted in the ark more than in God of the ark. How many of us are trusting in other things more than we are in God? That's the thing we got to figure. We, you know, we call, when we get in trouble, we got somebody we can call and get something to help us with, or can help us and stuff like that. Are we trusting in them more than we're trusting in God? Are we trusting in our power to pay our bills and not in that God is the power? Do we trust God? Do we trust God enough that we'll pay our tithes even when we're a little short? It looks like we're short on everything else, but we believe God enough that we'll go ahead and bring our tithe and offering into the storehouse so that then God can bless the 90, the rest of it. Those are the things. Are we trusting in the process? Are we trusting in God? It was like they were trusting in the process, because they trusted in the ark being present versus God being present. We want God to be present in our situation. We want God to be present in our life. We don't want to trust in, like, you know, some of them say, well, I got to get to the past. Are you trusting in the power of the pastor or the power of God? So this is another thing. So I'm talking about this because I'm building up to David and Goliath, because I wanted to bring in the differences in the two. So in that particular time, you know, they lost the battle, and I think it was another 20,000 of them that were killed. And then the Philistines took the ark. And so those are some of the things that we got to remember. We got to trust in God and not in God and his presence, and not in the presence of things. We've got to trust in God, and so we got to remember that. And even in people, sometimes we can build people so much up in our lives that we believe, I got to get to so-and-so to pray for me. I got to get to so-and-so to pray for me. Well, you can go to God on yourself. If you got belief in the thought that they can pray for you and you can get an answer, then you can go to God yourself if you got that much belief and believe that you can go to God and he'll give you an answer. That's what we got. That's what God is trying to get us to. He's trying to get us to the place that we trust totally in him, that we believe totally in him, our faith is totally in him, and not on other things. We got to have our faith right in him. He is the one that's fighting the battle for us. He is the one that's fighting for us, not other stuff, not the other person that you're going to. It's not them. God, they might be the prayer now. They might be righteous, and they might have faith for it, but you got to be able to get in that relationship with God. That's why I said we're building a better relationship with God through prayer. So we're learning how to go to God for ourselves. The Bible says men ought to always pray in our faith. He said it is we all need to pray without ceasing. And so these are things we all need to do. So we got to make sure that we are in that vein. And that's what we're doing. So, you know, when they brought the Ark of the Covenant in the camp in that particular scripture, that's 1 Samuel 4, when they brought the Ark, they went to shouting and screaming and hollering and because the Ark of the Covenant was in the place. But they wasn't shouting and praising God, who is the God that is the one that wins the battle. They were shouting and praising because the Ark of the Covenant had come into the temple, come into the camp. And so then they lost the battle. because they forgot to praise the God that wins the battle. Make sure you're praising the God that wins the battle. That's what we got to do. We got to make sure we're praising that. I'm talking slow today. I'm so excited. And so anyway, then the next thing is, then we're going to talk about David and Goliath, because this is a kind of a flip side of the story. Because David trusted in God. He believed in God. He believed in the power of God. He didn't believe that. He wasn't thinking about no Ark of the Covenant. Now, when he bought the Ark of the Covenant, he got the Ark of the Covenant back from the Philistines. It wasn't that he was dancing and praising for that. He was just, they retreated. But he believed that God was present at the time. He wasn't believing that just the Ark came back in, but he was believing that the God, that God was in the place, and God showed up. So we gotta remember that. So then let's look at this a minute. So here is David. David was just going down. This is 1 Samuel 17 chapter. David was just going down to give the lunch to his brothers who was already in the battle. Saul was king at the time. And so, but here comes Goliath. Now, he's a giant, right? And so he comes down and he wanted to fight somebody, send somebody to fight me. And because they were scared, you know, then he was really out there talking noise. You know how people talk noise. You know, we know. We do, you know, when you used to play cards or used to be doing all that, you'd be over there talking noise. If you had one of them good hands, you'd be over there just talking. I'm like, I'm going to do this. You know how we do. But anyway, so here he was talking a bunch of noise. And so David heard him. And the one thing that David said, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that will dare come before the army of God? That's what he was saying. And, of course, his brothers was kind of talking about, you need to go back home. You know, I'm just paraphrasing. You need to go back home. What are you doing down here? Why are you here? Because they felt like, you know, David was a little show-offy or whatever. I don't know what they felt like. But anyway, they didn't want him there. But anyway, David told him, he said, I'll go up and fight him. I will fight him. That's what he said. And he wasn't going in his own strength. This is what he said. David trusted in God, in the God of Israel, who had already saved him from the attack of the lion and the attack of the bear. So he had some history with God. He was thinking back on what God had already done for him. He had been attacked by a lion, he had been attacked by a bear, and he prevailed with both of them in that battle and won because of God. So the same God that saved David from the lion and the bear would save David from Goliath. That's what David believed. Even when Saul got ready to put his armor on David, David said, no, that ain't been tried for me, so I don't want that. He got him them five smooth stones. He went down there to the battle, and threw that one rock, hit him dead in the head. He fell down. He went over there, climbed on top of him, took his sword, and cut his head off. That's what David did. And so we got to understand, you got to believe that the God is fighting the battle. Now, he used David to go up against Goliath, but it wasn't David fighting. It was God that was fighting, because David was just a youth at the time. He was just a youth, but he believed in the power of God because he rested on what God had already done. Sometimes when we're going through difficult situations, we're going through something. This is a weapon for us to use for our victory. We got to remember what God has already done. And then as we progress on, we know without a doubt that God is fighting for us. David knew without a doubt that God was going to give him the victory over Goliath, because he had already gave him the victory over the lion and the bear. And so he went in that strength. He went in that strength knowing that God was going to do it, and that all he had to do was show up and do what God told him to do. He told him to get them five smooth stones, and he got them stones through that one, and it took him out. And then he jumped on top of him, took his sword, and killed him, and cut his head off. And so then he won that battle. And so that's the thing we got to do. We got to remember what God has done. So, what time is it? Oh, I got a 6 minute thing. I got to move on. So, anyway, we're going to close out for today. I thank God and we're going to close out in prayer. First of all, you know, I always want to make sure that, I always want to make sure that, who's this on line? Elder Tim Blake, you on the line? Would you do our call for Christ? I knew she's on there. If you don't come out.
Okay, yes.
Thank you.
Those of you that have listened to the word and to the teaching today, we pray that your hearts have been pricked and that your eyes of understanding have been enlightened. And we just want to offer you an opportunity. If you don't know Jesus or if you've walked away from him, his arms are stretched wide open, ready and willing to receive you. He's right for you, Lefton. He loves you. He cares for you. And we just want to extend a hand to you and offer you salvation, an opportunity for change in your life. If things have been going on and you've been having battles and situations like Elder Bryson has talked about, and you've been feeling a little bit overwhelmed, she's given us some tools and given you some tools that you can use. But it only works well and better with Jesus on your side. So I recommend Jesus to you. So if you will, if you repeat after me and say, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sin, and I asked him today to forgive me of my sins. I accept him today as my Lord and Savior, and I receive him. I accept his love, and I believe that he has forgiven me, and I confess all my faults to him. And today, yes, you have prayed that prayer in Jesus' name. The word says that you are saved. If you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus has been risen from the dead, that he died for your sins, the word says that you are saved. So if you have accepted Christ today, now find you a Bible-believing church, if you not have found one already, and begin to go there to get taught, to grow, and get you a Bible so you can begin to read and have a clear understanding of what God is really speaking to you. He loves you. He's calling you. He has purpose and destiny for you. But this is the day that he has made. You can rejoice and be glad in it from this day forth.
Amen and amen. We thank God for each and every one of you that prayed that prayer, and thank God for your salvation today. I always believe that angels in heaven are rejoicing over those that came to Christ. So thank God for each and every one of you. And we thank God for each and every one of you that joined in with Facebook Live today, those that joined online that are listening online. We thank God for each and every one of you, those that will call in, those that logged in, and those that will listen to later and listen to this broadcast later. We thank God for each and every one of you. We're going to close out with prayer, and then we will be back here next week on the Protestant Souls broadcast. Now, next week we're going to talk about, I'm trying to get through all this. I might run over one more week, but anyway, we're going to talk about praise. We're going to talk about the names of Jesus, and these are weapons of our that we can use in our battles, in our minds, and things like that we can use to stay on focus, to keep the enemy from trying to take us in a different place. We're going to talk about binding and loosing. That's our keys. How we can. Bible says if you bind anything, you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Anything you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Praise is our banner. We're going to think about the word of God and our testimony. And then we're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about the names of God. And so we might end up stretching that out to week number three, because we're going to talk about Jehoshaphat next week and come here to talk about these battles. And the one thing I want to say, I ain't going to say that. Okay, so anyway, let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you today. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for the word of God that came forth. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for blessing us with the word. And, Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for every soul that came to Christ today or will listen to this broadcast later and come to Christ. We thank you for that. I plead the blood of Jesus over everyone under the sound of my voice, those that are logged in, those that are on the Facebook, and those that are called in. I plead the blood of Jesus over their lives, Lord, that you will be their protection, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that those that need healing, that you are their healer, God. You are their peace, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for all of those that will also be going on as they go through their days and through the rest of this week. Lord, I ask you to bless them, Lord Jesus. Bless them, Lord Jesus, that they will become prayer warriors on their job, oh God, and not be fighting with the co-workers that are trying to fight against them. But, Lord, let them use the weapons that you have given them to fight with, oh God, the things that they've given them to fight with. And for those that don't feel like they're winning the battle, Lord, let them know that they're on the winning side. Depression, we rebuke oppression and suppression in the name of Jesus, and we claim victory for everybody in everybody's life that's under the sound of my voice. Whatever it is they need, God, You said you would supply it, Lord. And you and whatever lack they have, Lord, that you said that you're their shepherd and you shall not, they shall not want. So we thank you, Lord. We rebuke lack. We rebuke fear. We rebuke doubt, Father. Everything that you have called them to do, bless them to come forth and begin to do the work of the Lord in the name of Jesus. So we praise you. We thank you. We glorify you. If it's anybody that need whatever they need, supply it today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you all for listening to us, and we will see you back here next week on the Prosperous Souls broadcast. God bless you all. Thank you. I'm looking at my time. I got about 10 minutes. Anyway, it's done. Thank you. God bless you.